So how do we create neuroassociations? Well, first of all, understand this, that you are always creating associations in your mind. You're always anchoring things together in your mind. It's like, I bet there are songs that you can remember that as soon as you hear that song, instantly you remember maybe someone you had a relationship with. Do you have a song like that? That's called an anchor. That's a neuroassociation. Our brains, whenever we're highly emotional, now when I say highly emotional, what I mean is we're feeling strong feelings. Those feelings can be positive or negative, like negative ones like depression or frustrated or angry, or positive ones like happiness or joy or ecstasy. Anytime we're feeling strong feelings, whatever is happening around us consistently at that moment usually gets linked to it. That's called an anchor. That's what a neuroassociation is. So for example, if you were in a situation in your life where somebody yelled at you, and while they're yelling at you, they gave you a certain kind of look. Later on in your life, somebody may give you that same look and you might get angry right away. Have you ever had that happen? You go, don't look at me that way. And they go, what way? Or I'll give you another example. What happens to you when you see a spinning red light in your rearview mirror? Do you get a state change? You better believe it. That's a neuroassociation. What's happening at that moment is you've learned to link that spinning red light to some rather negative emotions. How did it happen? Well, one time you got pulled over. You didn't like wake up one day, or you didn't get born where you came out of your mother's womb and said, okay, copper, right? That's not how it happened. What happened was you were driving along, minding your own business, being a good citizen. And one day somebody pulled you over for no reason. And sure enough, they scared the heck out of you, wrote you a ticket, and you got mad or you felt scared. And maybe that happened enough times to now you just see a spinning red light and you feel a state change. Or you hear the sound, you feel a state change. Is that a fair assessment? That's called anchoring again. So remember, anchors happen whenever we're in highly emotional states. By the way, they happen even when we don't want them to. If, let's say, you've had a horrible day at work and you come home and you're feeling pretty angry and upset about something, and you come home to your husband or wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, whoever, significant other, as they now say, and sure enough, they try and cheer you up, but you're in such a negative place that nothing works. You just stay angry, and they keep trying to express to you that it'll be okay, and you stay angry, and you're angry while you see their face, angry while you see their face, angry while they see their face. Pretty soon, let's say that happens for 2 or 3 straight days. Let's say the fourth day, you have a great day. God, you feel great. You can't wait to be home with your husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, significant other. And you walk through the door feeling great, can't wait to be with them. You look at their face, and within a few seconds, you feel angry. Or all of a sudden, you start fighting for no reason. Have you ever seen something like this happen? I know not in your life, but maybe in other people's lives. My hallucination is you probably have. That's called anchors. We've got to be careful. Anytime we're in strong states, things get linked up. That's how our memories are. Haven't you ever noticed, like, when you remember something, many times that memory will remind you of something else. You go, oh, I was trying to think of that before. Oh, yeah, do you remember this? And it's like this network of associations in our mind. So that's how the brain works. Those associations are happening all the time. And sometimes they totally disempower us, and sometimes they have nothing to do with reality. I'll give you an example. I was doing a seminar one time. Here I am, bouncing along, talking in the front of the room. I had about 600 people in the room, and I'm speaking, and I'm really cranking. And up on the stage next to me was this knight. What I mean is literally a suit of armor. And I was using it as a kind of a fun metaphor for the story I was telling at the time. And sure enough, as I'm talking, when I walked in the area of the stage where the knight was standing, all of a sudden my microphone started to go crazy with all the static. And then as I walked away, the static seemed to go away as well. So I kept on talking, and sure enough, as I got close to that same spot, all of a sudden my microphone, the static, started going crazy again. Well, you can guess what happened. Immediately, people in the audience turned to me and said, it's the night. That's the problem. Stay away from the night. And I said, boy, you guys sure link things up pretty quick. I'm not convinced. I only did it twice, and you're already convinced it's the night? You've already associated the night as the problem? I said, I don't think that's true. And I walked away from the night, and it stopped having static. And they said, see? And I walked towards it again, and sure enough, the static happened again. And I walked away, and the static kept on going. And I kept walking, and it kept on going. And I walked over the night, and it stopped. I looked at them, and I said, what do you believe now? They looked rather confused. What actually turned out was there was a police car going by, and it was interfering with my signal. See, a lot of times in life, we link up things. We go, the reason I didn't succeed is because of this. Or if this would have happened, my life would have been this way. Or if you hadn't done that, this would happen. But I got to tell you, a lot of our neuroassociations have no basis in reality. They feel real to us, but they are totally disempowering because they have nothing to do with what actually went on. So on the next tape, what you're going to study is how to change your neuroassociations specifically, step by step. But you already know how they're created. If you're in an emotional state, something happens consistently while you're in the peak, you're going to link it up. Just like Ivan Pavlov and the dogs. Remember him? He took these dogs, didn't feed them, put food in front of them. As soon as they saw the food, whammo! Immediately they felt hungry. While they're feeling hungry, ring a bell. Feeling hungry, ring a bell. Feeling hungry, ring a bell. Till pretty soon the two got linked. As soon as he rang a bell, whammo, they felt hungry. Now, even though the bell had nothing to do with it, that's what advertisers have done with you for years. It's now time for you to take control back. It's time for you to advertise in your own mind. So if you want to change the direction of your life, your ultimate destiny, and how you feel now, you got to change these associations. Take a look at the most successful people around you and see how one or two simple associations change their entire life. Look at Mother Teresa. She linked up in her head that there's going to be massive pain in the world unless she did something on a massive scale to help people. She also linked that if she could help people, it mean ultimate pleasure, and it controlled her entire destiny. Bruce Springsteen years ago linked rock and roll was the way to have ultimate pleasure and the way to avoid pain. Hey, Steven Spielberg, I mean, take a look. If you want to understand why people are successful, just look at their neuroassociations. That'll tell you what's driven their life and their destiny. Steven Spielberg, one of the great movie makers, I think, out there, in that he really entertains his audiences in a very powerful and fun way, from little kids to people at the most mature of ages. How does he pull it off to affect that many different people? Because he's a genius, obviously. Well, how did he become a genius? Hey, genius is nothing but focusing your action in a consistent way to get a result that you're committed to. If you do that every single day, and every day you strive to be better, and every day you make more distinctions, you'll become what other people call a genius. That's called power. And why has he done that, though? Why has he spent all of these years focusing on how to change people's states? Because years and years ago, he found out he could have ultimate pleasure by scaring the heck out of his sisters. And finally, he thought, God, I could do it and make movies and I don't even have to be there and I can scare people. That became a driving force, was to change people's states and create those feeling shifts in people, and he loved it. And that drove him. It drove him to go further and further and further. Now, those aren't the only neuroassociations, but those are some of them. So I got a question for you. What would be the ultimate neuroassociations that you would need in order to create your life the way you're committed to having it be? In order for you to create the destiny that you really want? What would be your associations that you would create or link to things like learning, growing, giving, money, challenging yourself, taking risks, relationships, commitment, power? What are some of the negative neuroassociations that may be holding you back, and what are some of the empowering ones you need? Let's do an exercise with that right now, and then tomorrow we're going to show you exactly step by step how to use neuroassociative conditioning. But right now, let's at least get aware of them and make some changes.